One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson, and I am the host of the aforementioned podcast, Don't Make Me Come Back There. And I am alongside here in my dining room with producer and stand-up comedian of this. Well, you're a producer of this podcast, and you're a stand-up comedian of other shows.
Of the world.
Of Central San Diego. Stephen English, ladies and gentlemen, is here with us. Thank you for tuning in, Backseaters.
Oh, thank you so much. Nobody's ever done that. Thank you so much.
We are a little podcast that could, where we talk to comedians and other interesting people about their families and their lives and their childhood and their marriages and their relationships and their struggles and comedy and their careers and all kinds of other things. And today, we have none other than comedian Jeff Dye. Jeff Dye is a very, very funny comedian who has been seen on such shows as Last Comic Standing. He has been on The Tonight Show. He's been on a bunch of stuff. I remember Jeff long before I started comedy.
Yeah.
I was so excited to. I've been on his podcast. I've done a lot of shows with him. And I was so excited that he would be a little guest on our podcast. You can follow him on his social medias at Jeff Dye. That is Jeff with a J, J-E-F-F-D-Y-E, J-E-F-F, did I say that right? And J-E-F-F-D-Y-E, Jeff Dye, and it's the same on his Twitter.
Twitter.
Did you know?
I did.
I bet you didn't. Did you know that the very first comedy club show I ever went to, I saw Jeff Dye?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, of course I knew that.
No, where was it at?
It was at Laffy's.
Laffy's.
It was at Laffy's Comedy Den.
In Toledo. I had just gone to a Mudheads game. And now I was going to see Jeff Dye at Laffy's in Toledo. No. So this would have been about 7-8 years ago before I'd started stand-up comedy. And my special wife, Melissa Nickerson, got a Groupon. Financially savvy Melissa
Nickerson. How many kids you have at that time?
Seven.
You had seven.
We have
okay.
three now. We have donated four. And, you know, there's people who want them. So
yeah.
We gave away four. We're down to three. And we had to give away four because even with the Groupon, the Comedy Palace was so expensive. They hit you with that two item where you're like, we got a two item. That means two less kids.
Yeah.
So we went and saw Jeff Dye at the Comedy Palace. And it wasn't a huge show.
Right.
This is a while back. And it was the late show. And it was very funny. And Jeff was fantastically funny.
Yeah.
And I remember watching the show. And I remember thinking the host, who I know now, Zach Miller, was very good at comedy.
Yeah.
And then I remember watching this guest set bomb so hard. One of the, and it's funny because I know, like, you know, about guest sets at the Palace now. And I was like, oh my gosh, this guy is so bad. And I had always thought about stand-up comedy. I was like, this is, I couldn't be worse than this. But then I saw Faraz middled, and then Jeff Dye was headlining, and they were so good. But I kept thinking about that guest set. I was like, yeah. He is so bad.
Right.
There's no way I could be worse than this. Yeah. And then I started comedy, and I was so much worse than him for 2 years.
Yeah.
I was worse than that set that right. night. So, so it is a fun, every time that I hang out with Jeff or I do a show with him, it is like a fun full circle moment.
Right.
That I let him know that the quality of his show was so bad that it inspired me to start stand-up comedy. It's not his fault. He didn't pick his openers.
Yeah.
But we have a really, I don't know, Jeff and I have a lot in common in that we grew up in the South Puget Sound region.
Really?
Yeah, he grew up in Kent, Washington, which is in a valley below Federal Way, Washington, which if you're not from Federal Way, you would say Federal Way.
Right.
Because that's how you say the word.
Right, because people know how to, they've no phonics.
Right, we're not big on reading in the Federal Way.
Yeah.
We looked down, but we would look down on the valley. Literally, we would look down on the valley. They were down in Kent, and we were around the same age. I didn't know him or anything, but we both started hanging around in church circles around the same time, and so we have been in and around the same communities, really like three different separate times, in that where we grew up, and then the church community stuff, and now in comedy.
Yeah.
So we have a fun episode. We talk a lot about marriage and kids. You know, Jeff's a single guy. We recorded this at his house in LA. And, you know, paint the picture. I mean, Jeff, it's his house is like the movie Big. You know, it's just like there's like wrestling figurines
right.
and prints, but he's like, but it's all pristine. Like,
sure.
He's like very OCD. Like, I'm the opposite. I remember I lost my keys in his house, and he knew where they were. He's like, no, you put your keys here. Like, he noted where I put my keys down right. when I walked in. So we talk a lot about comedy as well, and church stuff, and, you know, relationship dynamics, and we get into it. And this was a long episode, so we had to cut a bunch. I'm sorry, Jeff, but I told you, we are committed to our listeners to get in.
Get them in,
or
get them
around
out.
The hour. So yeah, I hope you guys eat this episode up. I was up there doing shows. Are you an LA guy? Do you like LA? I know you're a Dodgers fan. You got some time up there. But
I was I spent a lot of time up there when I was a little kid. And I was at USC for 2 years.
You went to USC for 2 years?
I sure did. It only cost my parents $500,000. My application. Just
and that
kidding.
Was with a scholarship.
Yeah. That's
how did I know that? I knew them. Your timeline is always so weird to me.
I've lived
okay,
in
so
every single place.
Okay, so this is again. This segues nicely.
Yeah,
and that people give us a hard time because, like, hey, you always tell us so much about the guest.
Yeah,
but we don't know anything about Steven.
I like to have an air of mystery.
To which I say, I don't want you to know about Steven. I can't believe I let him talk this much as it
it's
is.
It's true. Yeah, yeah
we've
yeah.
never had an episode release on time. No, that's not true. Steven does a very good job. He had two bad weeks.
Yeah.
But read that review. Someone called us out on it.
Someone said, first of all, it's a long review. I don't want to read it all.
No, read the whole thing.
Okay, let's see. Well, now you put me on the spot.
Hey, all right, USC. You know mostly, how to read, right? Yeah.
Mostly guilt-free jokes. I love a great conversation. This is from MBJ. I love a great conversation.
The Michael B. Jordan? This is from Michael B. Jordan.
Oh, my God. I'm starstruck. Okay. The kind we really feel like you've gotten to know someone on a deeper level. You laugh together. You cry together. Well, you know, no one's cried yet.
People cried. I bet some people.
You judge
people haven't gotten near crying here, and I'm like, I'm so uncomfortable with other people's emotions. I'm like, yeah, no, stop that. I don't. Some people are like trying to get that. I was like, hey, clean that up. All right, I'm not. Yeah,
lock it up.
Yeah, exactly. I gotta sneak in an ad here. I'm not gonna talk about that. I'm gonna put your tears in a munchie mug. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I surprised myself on that one.
No, you can't. No, you don't get any.
No, I'm doing it. No, before you finish that review, I'm going to stink this in. Can I tell you guys about Munchie Mug? Munchie Mug is the best spill-proof cup on the market. Could you put tears in it? Yes. Should you?
No.
I don't know. I don't know how your week's been. Maybe you need to. Maybe you got a Munchie Mug full of tears.
No, you
got
to let
but
your tears
flow. But
you know what?
Flow. It's not going to spill.
Yeah.
It probably will. You're not supposed to put liquids in. We're talking about snacks right now. We're talking about Goldfish crackers.
Yeah.
We're talking about the different kinds of goldfish crackers. Yeah. We're talking about Chex Mix.
Talking about Quizzles.
Quizzles.
About
what's Quizzles?
Knickknacks. We're talking about...
No. Bugles.
Dweegles. Dweegles? Is that a thing?
You're just saying random words. What Bugles? That's one, right? Remember the... Yeah.
You put them on your fingers and act like you had like Jackie Joyner Kersee nails.
Didn't she get busted for steroids?
Probably, yeah.
I bet she carried her steroids in a munchie mug. Nice. That's how she didn't, they didn't spill out. That's how she made sure she took all of them. You could run a full sprint, Jackie Joyner, with that in your hand. Not a single steroid is going to pop out. This is the worst, Ed. I can't believe that they keep... Thank you. I love Munchie Mug. I really do. Guys, Munchie Mug is a great product and great for your kids, and they're not going to spill their stuff, and it's going to make your life a little less messy. You can get them in a bunch of different colors, and you can get free shipping, and it's made here in the USA. Check out their stuff at munchiemug.com, M-U-N-C-H-I-E, munchiemug.com, and when you type in promo code, don't make me, which is all one word, no apostrophe, don't make me, you're going to get 25% off your order, munchiemug.com. Steven, hit me with the rest of that review.
Oh, yeah. Back to this thing that we're talking about, how no one, you know, let me talk, and everyone wants to know about me. I guess we'll get back to that now.
You try and tell one story, and I'm like, let me get the ad in.
Yeah. Well, basically, it boils down to, she says that, well-produced, also professional podcast.
Oh, why do you got to bring that up?
Shout out to producer
Steven. Well-produced.
Hey. Well produced, also professional podcast. She says, or he says,
semi pro, San Diego Fleet.
Shout out to producer Steven, or is it Stefan? Host Dustin, thank you for spelling out the name of every. And she puts every in all caps guest, but never again in all caps, spelling the name of your producer. Wow,
Steven English. You don't know,
but it could be Stefan.
Stefan,
yeah. You don't know.
If it were Stefan, I wouldn't associate with you.
That's true. I wouldn't associate.
I
would change it. It is a V.
I don't mess with Stefan.
Yeah, Stefan's
the okay, worst. Share your social media stuff. You tweet like...
I don't ever, yeah. Follow my wife, Dorothy On Air. Actually, if you want to follow somebody
little promo.
In the family, follow Dorothy On Air because she's the one that actually does stuff.
Yeah, she's floating on air right now too. She's got that baby coming.
Yeah, she's definitely floating. If you see her walking around, that's definitely the first thing that comes to mind. Not walking, yikes. For sure. It's floating.
Yikes. God. That is
burn on you,
there's
Dorothy.
There's nothing more beautiful in the world than a pregnant woman.
She's glowing. She's absolutely glowing.
More beautiful than a grumpy, uncomfortable, cannot sleep.
Oh, you don't
joints
know.
Are in pain. Oh,
that's the funny part. That shows how little you know Dorothy. Tran.
3 months out from having to ice her nipples every night,
Dorothy sleeps. Dorothy will sleep at the drop of a dime.
Yeah,
she sleeps.
I've heard her on air. I feel like half the no.
She does.
She's so much more talented than us.
Oh, 100%.
It's ridiculous. And by us, I mean you.
I asked her, I was like, hey, like I was just kind of pissed around. I was like, hey, you know, like, why don't I do like work at the station? I could do weekends at your station. She goes, okay, fine. Do a break right now. And she's like, you're going out of Perfect by whatever Sam Smith and going into a Prince song. She's like, go. And you have to give away tickets to Disneyland in 10 minutes. And it wasn't even like on air, and I froze up so bad, and I tried to do it, and I like was sitting there, and she was like, here's how I do it. And she like laid this like perfect.
Yeah, they just turn it on.
Yeah.
Did she ever do that in like when you're just like talking normally? Where you're like, all right, you just went Dorothy on air. You stopped being Dorothy and you were Dorothy on air.
Yeah, so she's trying to make me feel good about something. She's like, no, your hair isn't. Well, your hair's not thinning back there. It looks just great.
It looks like you're using that new Neutrogena product. Anyways, honey, I got us 2 tickets to Disneyland. Guys, we hope you enjoy this episode with Jeff Dye. He is a very funny, insightful, very silly guy, and we really had a good time chatting. As always, please continue to give us ratings and reviews. We love to read them here on the podcast, and we also love when you guys shoot us emails at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Thank you guys so much. Enjoy this episode with Jeff Dye.
Hey, thanks, Michael Jordan.
Like, I'll get mad at drivers sometimes, but I would never flip somebody off. I would never yell at them. I don't know what their life is. Who is
this
person?
I'm also such a coward driver. I'm like, my friendliness goes into driving.
Yeah.
It does. I'm like, I'm no rush. I'm never offended.
Yeah.
There's one time a lady cut me in half on the freeway. I mean, just, it cut millimeters from my bumper. It's like, and like just the, that panic that gets in your heart, the adrenaline and the fear of like, oh, okay, I'm gonna live now.
Yeah.
And then I drove right up by her, just furious. I don't know what I was gonna do, but I just drove up by her and I looked in her car, and she waved and mouthed, "Sorry." All my rage went away.
Just like that.
Oh.
Isn't that amazing?
She didn't know. She's just a bad driver. That's all it was. And I, like, that's how my mind is. Like, oh, she didn't mean that.
Yeah.
I almost died on the freeway, but but a little wave, like a little sorry it's wave. Fine. And it I was like, oh, that's what a sweetheart. That's let her be.
Well, that's because that you now, it humanizes it more. Yeah. It's not the object that is that car and whoever this worthless piece of crap is.
Right.
Who's, you know, like, oh, but like, it's like the difference of like, you know, when you accidentally block an intersection. We've all done that before.
I hate that move.
But we've all done it. And usually when you do it on accident.
Right.
Or you take a gamble.
Right.
Maybe I can make it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't want to be stuck here.
Yeah.
So at least if I'm there, I can kind of squeak in.
And when you are that person, all you want is the mercy of everybody. But when you are the person that has been blocked or has... You can't go now.
Well, here's the thing. But even in that situation, if they waved and they're like, I'm sorry, I blew it. I took a game. I took a shot. You know? But it isn't. It's when they just sit there like ignore everyone. Yeah. People are honking. People are and they're still like indignant.
They're on their phone.
Yeah, they're indignant. Like, this is just what it's going to be. And you're all going to have to. It's like, I want to just be like, I'm insured. I'm going to smash into that car.
And it's
going
to be your fault. Yeah. You blocked an intersection.
I wonder if that would be.
I think so. I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, I'm not going to do it.
There's only, well, there, I was going to say there's only one. There are several ways to find
out. Yeah, there's a lot of ways to
find out. We could research.
There's only 12 ways to find out.
Yeah, we could call an HR insurance company.
I will say that, though. What is it about getting into an automobile that makes people the worst version of themselves? Some of the sweetest people I know are like, oh, dude, I followed a guy for 25 blocks. You're like, what? Why? You're like a nice guy. Well, he cut me off, and I was like, I don't got nothing to do for the next hour. I'm just going to stalk this guy.
It's also
and I was like,
personal.
What? Yeah, I don't understand.
I don't understand either, but I'm the same way. When I get in, if somebody cuts me off, it's that. They cut me off. It's like, it's very personal. It's not, I wonder where this guy's going.
Right.
I like your, I mean, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe he just sucks at driving.
His wife could be giving birth right now.
Right.
For all I know.
And that's extreme. Maybe he's just a crap driver. There's no way. Not everyone's good at
maybe
it.
Maybe he didn't see you.
Yeah,
maybe
not everyone's good at it.
As if we haven't all, maybe he was just, oh, that's the exit. I thought. We've could all gotten
be.
Confused in our GPS
happens.
Before.
Yeah, he's not paying attention.
Yeah. You know how hard it was back when we first started driving? Or how old are you? Are you
I'm 36.
When we had to print out the MapQuest piece of paper.
But even that was like a, like, man, it would suck to be our parents.
We could start going places.
I used to think MapQuest was like the most genius invention. And I was like, dude, can you imagine the old days?
Yeah.
Could you imagine when they had none of this? And they just had to like get directions on the phone from
they
their friends?
They just had to know how addresses worked.
Well, which who could figure that
out? Yeah. Oh, okay, so 26th Avenue relates to 22nd Street.
Because what's... Yeah, but also, like, you're like, Wax Road.
The names.
I'm just going to find Wax Road? Like, I don't know how to... like.
I've thought about it with comedians. Like, how I couldn't have been a comedian in any other generation.
Oh,
any other generation where I can make... I have my ticket on my phone.
Yeah.
And then I go get my rental car, and I show them my reservation on my phone, and it's... And then they go, do you need a map? No.
Yeah.
Anyway, do you need directions? Yeah. Have you worked here since 88?
Yeah,
no, I don't need directions.
But how funny is that? He'd be like, remember that one comic who came to Cleveland, Dustin Nickerson? He was so funny. I heard he quit.
Yeah, because he couldn't
find... Wait, why did he quit? He's like, oh, he hated every weekend, waking up, getting to the city, not knowing how to get
couldn't
there.
Couldn't find the venue.
Stressful. The money isn't good enough for him to put up with that. He's just, you know.
Do you ever work those clubs that have like the old rules? Like you have to call when you get into town.
Oh, yeah, but I don't follow any
of
but
them. That's an old rule. Like that's like they're just like, well, you're in Tucson, but you're driving from Tulsa.
Right.
And we just need to know you made it.
Well, it's just, it puts them at ease.
Yeah.
That rule's only in place. So they're like, oh, is our little... prop here
the drink salesman,
that's all it is.
Yeah.
Like, is there gonna be a thing on stage tonight? It's in town.
This is a question I'll be curious for, because you're very silly and you have a very fun silly act.
Yeah.
I was listening to I've heard just this last week, I was talking to a friend about this, and I hear like there's two extremes of is like comedy important, and like mutual friend Zoltan Kassis.
Yeah.
He holds the stance that it's so unimportant.
Okay.
Like, he hates when anybody takes it seriously. Okay. Like, you're just up there selling drinks.
Yeah.
And slinging your little sillies.
Yeah.
And, but then you have the other extreme, which is like, it's the most important.
And I have both.
Yeah.
I have both.
Just depending on the day, or you hold them simultaneously.
I think, yeah, they're paradoxical, but I think they're both the same.
Okay.
I think they're different and the same.
Okay.
So, and me and Dan Cook kind of had this subject in our episode of the podcast, but whereas like some people are just going there to just have a good time and
right.
not think about those types of things.
Right.
So there is a place mm-hmm. for the, you know, I have a bit about a bird walking onto an airplane and everyone loves it. And it's one of my favorite jokes. It's a true story that happened to me and I tell it. There's a place for that.
Yeah.
The political comedians don't have to be outraged about that.
No.
There's a place for it. Some
yeah.
people just want to hear a silly thing that happened. It's yeah. funny. And then there's also a place for, I think this is important, and I have a platform.
Mm.
And the same way that the jester was the only one that was able to criticize the king.
Right.
That we're going to get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like people are going to listen to us more than they would listen to a politician or so
yeah.
you have a unique opportunity. People are mm-hmm. giving you their ear because they like what you're doing.
Yeah.
So there's that. However, my one thing that this is where maybe people disagree with me, it better be funny.
Yes.
I don't care for the people who have no inkling of putting a joke in there.
Yeah.
It's okay that you feel these ways.
Right.
Put it in a joke.
Yeah.
That's what I need.
Yeah.
I need it to be in a joke.
That's what Chris Rock said in the Talking Funny thing, right? Whatever you do, it has to be a joke.
Right.
There has to be a setup or a punch or a misdirect.
Otherwise, you're just as annoying to me as the politicians and
right.
the activists.
Yeah.
And so I say, make it important.
Yeah.
Make it silly, but make it a joke.
Yeah.
And that's what I need.
And if you want it to be important, then try and do TED Talks. Like, that's
right.
what that
yeah,
is.
That's what you need. Yeah.
yeah.
Go start your own
and
religion.
I can't,
or yeah. Go, and I don't need that.
You know, I go TED Talk. Maybe you'll get a few thousand views or just start a cult.
Right.
Whatever you
and
need
that's
to
the
do.
Thing. That's what they're doing. It's yeah. all this silly. Because, you know, people say they're religious. There's a big difference between your true religion.
Right.
And what you say you believe.
Sure.
For some reason, there's people in this world that you can literally make fun of Jesus to their face and they don't do anything.
Yeah.
But if you take a knee during a football game or spit on an American
yeah.
flag, they will kill you.
Yeah.
Sounds like your religion is America.
Yeah, that's...
Or patriotism. You care a lot more about
yeah.
that. Like, but Jesus can be made fun of on things and you don't...
Yeah.
Like, I'm much more passionate about Jesus than I am about our silly country.
Sure.
I don't...
Yeah.
It doesn't
We're just
affect
a country.
Me. Any country. I
yeah.
don't care. Like, so that's the thing is... I think our actions are our religion and not what we just profess.
Right. Well, religion, you and I, let's see, you said you're 36?
Yeah.
So you were born in 1982.
83, yeah.
83. So but, I'm 1984. In the late 80s, the Reagan-Falwell political, this is what Christians believe. It
oh,
is
yeah.
republicanism. This yeah. is it. It gets more married.
Which was harder for me to understand when I was 5 or 6.
Right. You didn't catch the nuances.
It was tough.
Of it, but it really did become, in many ways, like just married to politics. And
sure.
now it's in America. Like I remember listening to sermons and hear pastors preach, like, you know, the Bible says that women stay at home and, you
yeah.
know, men go make the income and they lead their families and da da da.
Yeah.
I was like, these are American
yeah, in
values.
Ephesus.
Yeah. But you like what you're preaching right now are like, that's like Leave It to Beaver stuff.
Yeah.
Like that's not.
Yeah.
Like
when
they,
it's goes farther back than Leave It
yeah.
to Beaver. We're talking about the Middle East
yeah.
in like 1,000, 2,000 years
well,
ago.
Well, even that they would always like talk about the Proverbs 31 woman. I don't know if you've heard that, but there's a good section in Proverbs 31 that talks about like, this is what an honorable woman does. But in it, like she's like making and selling crafts and stuff. It's like, oh, so she has a side business.
Right.
Like, she's not exactly Mrs. Cleaver.
Right. And it also predates all birth control, all plumbing or feminine napkins.
A home.
Where a woman literally has to choose between her family and her own health.
Yeah.
Like, it's a different time.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a whole different world.
Yeah, like, you think that you'll uphold those values, and you're like, okay, so how often did they see their dad?
Yeah, never. Well, and also, like, just, I love kind of, I love flexing on those ideas in my act. I love, because...
You had a marriage one, right? Or what
I have a thing where I say I don't believe in gay marriage. And the crowd gets so uncomfortable, especially being from Seattle and moving to L.A.
Yeah.
I didn't meet a Republican until I was like 34.
On the road? Or...
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Republicans were like Bigfoot to me. I was like, what? You saw one? Oh, how, are they as strong as I've heard? You know? So for me, like, saying that sentence triggered even the people I love most in my life, where where I would say, oh, I don't believe in gay marriage. And I let it sit.
Yeah.
And then the crowd is like, what? And I was like, yeah, I don't. I'm sorry if that makes you uncomfortable, but I'm a Christian and I believe in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I believe marriage is between a man and a young woman sold by her parents in exchange for cattle, crops, and village safety. I do what the good book tells me. And that bit is completely biblically accurate. Yeah. 100% biblically accurate. So people are very, like, he's not lying.
Yeah.
That's really what the Bible says. Yeah. But also, and then, like, their brains can't function.
Right. When I asked my father, now father-in-law, if I could marry his daughter. No, I was very young. I was 19.
Yeah.
He did a similar type thing. He goes, well, you know, if you want to marry my daughter, I think we should do the biblical thing, which is you should work for me for 7 years, and then you can marry one of her sisters, which is the...
That is hilarious.
And I'm like 19.
But you just laughed, or were you like, is he
nervous
serious?
Laughed. But I was like, oh, it's a great one. Great one, Mr. Hoagland. So,
no, that's a brilliant one. He is a very smart man.
And that actually happened. That was a barter of a deal of like the biblical family. 100%.
And also,
in order to work for you, and then he sneaks his daughter in.
Not to mention, there was no consent. Right. This like, if you want to, it's like a big hot button issue nowadays is consent.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot
that's
of
true.
Young ladies didn't want to be getting married to these men.
Yeah. So when I asked my father-in-law if I could marry his daughter, if he said no, I was going to do it.
Oh, for sure.
But it was
you were being polite.
It was a nice gesture. When you asked once upon a time, you were actually asking. It was like you were bartering.
It was a huge deal.
It was just that it was a deal.
Yeah, it was a deal. Oh, that's so funny.
So you, I guess I've heard and I've assumed, but you, because I know from the Bible jokes and stuff, did you grow up going to church or did you start going later?
Sort of. A weird thing happened with my family. So like my parents and my sisters and me went to a Methodist
church.
Church,
yeah. And this is in Auburn. Auburn, Washington? Where
did
you grow up?
Kent, Washington.
Kent.
Oh, yeah, I was in Kent.
I like
and
that
we,
you clarified.
Pretty similar.
I knew it was close because I grew up in Federal Way.
Yeah.
So we're right there.
Nobody's ever made that close of a guess. How about that?
Yeah, I knew it was in the valley.
Yeah.
I knew it was like, rednecks down in the valley.
Yeah, that's what we were made
fun of. Might
as
well be Enum Claw.
It might as well be anything.
This is just for us. This is for nobody.
So we went to a Methodist church. We were very young. Mm-hmm. And a thing happened where, and I might be missing this a little bit because I was pretty young, but our youth group leader was a lesbian woman.
Okay.
And that made my mom insane. And at the time, my mom was very homophobic. Now she's not as...
She was out of the closet. She wasn't like, they knew she was a lesbian. Because the Methodist...
That's the thing is, I don't know a lot of details about it. But
it didn't... Okay.
But she was definitely a lesbian woman.
Uh-huh.
And she was teaching the youth group.
Oh, I see.
We didn't know. We're young. But also, like, maybe she was teaching it was okay, or maybe she was out of the closet. Maybe her wife or girlfriend went to that church. I don't know. But however my mom found out, must have been pretty, you know, like, how was my mom know?
Right.
So once my mom found out, she had a meltdown, caused this big stink in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And then the church was like, hey, whether you're right or whether you're wrong, this isn't how we deal with issues at the church. You can't just, like, have this huge... anger and rage about it and get everyone in a flush, you know, in a big, I don't know the word for it, but like get
flurry.
Everyone flustered and ruffle feathers.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know if this part's true either. This is my mom's side of the story.
Okay.
Is that the church asked my family and her to leave. I don't know that that's true, but that's the way her, that's her story.
They got maybe church disciplined. That happens.
And so my mom didn't see it as like the church rejecting her as much as like God rejecting her. Like this is the church, like that church people are all fake and at least Methodists are bad people and all this different stuff.
Interesting.
Whereas me and my sisters were like, okay, we don't have to go to a place on Sunday anymore. This is great. We can sleep. It was very early.
I do feel bad for my kids that we take them to church on Sunday mornings.
Yeah, they don't like it. That's the thing. It's fun for adults. It's exactly like a field trip at school. Any of the field trips you took me on when I was in elementary school or junior high, I would love now. I love documentaries. Yeah. The thing that they show me in science, I watch every night on TV.
When they
TV
took you
now.
To Puget Sound Energy.
I would love that now.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, oh, this is how the electricity gets to my house.
Exactly. It's very interesting. Like, you watch Blue Planet or like Planet Earth or One Strange Rock, you're like, this is fascinating.
Yeah.
Because we're grown-ups.
Yeah.
But when I was there, I was just this punk kid who was like, just like stealing the pennies out of the fountain.
And
calling kids gay. Like, I was not good.
Education is wasted on youth. It really is.
And so that was the same thing with the church. It's like, we were like, great, we don't have to go anymore.
Fantastic.
And
news.
So then when I got a little bit older and I started going to school, we didn't have to have anything to do with religion anymore. Like, mm-hmm. nothing to do with it. But then the nicest kids at school were the church kids.
Right.
They were so nice to me. And they were, and like, I was a really weird kid as far as like, I would get suspended all the time. I would blow up your mailbox. I was a rascal.
Were you nice? You were like a nice
bad kid?
I was a nice kid,
but I just wanted trouble.
I
loved mischief.
Yeah.
And that kind of stuff. So the church kids were like, stay away from him. He's bad.
Yeah.
But I didn't drink. I didn't do drugs. I didn't have sex or do anything with girls because, you know, that was not an option.
Right.
And so the bad kids were like, don't invite Jeff. He'll snitch on us. So I was too bad for the good kids and too good for the bad kids. So at school, I was a legend.
Yeah.
I was like the most popular kid in school.
Yeah.
But after school, I had like one pal to
Nobody
hang
wanted
out
to hang
yeah,
out with
everyone
you.
Was like, ugh. But as I got into high school and I tried to like get a little bit more calm and not get in as much trouble, I started hanging out with Young Life kids.
Okay.
Which is like church.
Yeah.
But on the fringe.
It's
you know?
Fringe church. It, yeah. Parachurch is what it's called.
It's more recruitment. Yeah. Like, you know, they're slowly trying to bring you in. You yeah. know, like it's recruitment.
Well, and they all had like old tactics. They used to like target the cool kids.
Right.
That was like the old model.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it works.
Totally.
Because you go, oh, the hottest girls at our school go to that. Yeah. I'm going to check it out. Oh, the coolest guys. And all the girls are like, the coolest guys go there. And then they have like cool college kids.
Yeah.
That like teach it.
Yeah. Yeah. They're like 6 months older than you.
Yeah.
And
they're like, dude, we go to the University of Washington.
Yeah.
And like, we want Gatorade. And you're like, love Gatorade.
Big fan.
Yeah.
Huge.
We have candy. We're going to play all these really silly games.
Yeah.
And we're going to like knock down the walls of like cool high school kids.
Yeah.
Because we'll do sketches.
We'll
and
go to cool
things.
Camps.
Yeah. It's super fun.
Yeah. You guys.
And
you,
then
you like water skiing? Yes.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
love water skiing.
We have a blob. And you're like, yeah. You can talk to me about Jesus all you want. You got a blob. You got a blob and Janine's here? Are you kidding me? I'm definitely in. And that's what happened.
And then there's some like weird object lesson. Like, remember when you guys are on the blob today? Don't you want someone to lift you up? Like, all right, that's a stretch, but I'll give it to you.
But here's the beauty of Christ's message is that I'm making fun of this tactic and these human strategies to recruit. But I heard Jesus' story and I was like, yeah, I want that.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
this is... I don't care how they got me here.
Yeah.
It worked for me to hear this.
Right.
That's tugging on my heart, and it makes me feel a thing. And yeah, sure, it took all this crap, but I also still love all this crap, and that is a beautiful story and a beautiful message and a beautiful way to live, beautiful way to think.
Right.
And so I just went all in. I was just like, this is for me.
Yeah.
And so I started being good as far as, you know, like trying to just not
right.
be. And I also kind of like changed my whole position on like, I'm just going to be nice to everyone, which I kind of already did before, but I was doing it before for like motives.
Yeah.
Before I was being nice to everyone because I wanted friends.
Yeah.
But this time I was like, no, I think this is how we should behave. Like, I think this is how humans should all interact. And so it worked, you know, and I was all in. I became a Young Life leader and then, and then eventually,
you've got to be a Young Life legend now.
Dude, I had fun, man.
Yeah.
Even more now. I'll share something that I've never told.
I can't wait
to
hear
ever. I was easily the most popular Young Life leader.
Sure.
Because my position was, you guys are all like blessed to be with me as your Young Life leader. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm going to let you do anything you want. if I hear about anything, you're not in trouble. Just know that. You're going to come. They're going to bring you back to me. I'm going to pretend yell at you. Yeah. But you're not in trouble. Go have fun. This is the age where you're supposed to get in trouble. You're supposed to have a good time. Here's the rules. If I find out any of you are excluding someone, picking on someone, if I hear you gossiping about someone who isn't cool enough, like at this whole camp, if I hear you making fun of a girl because she's fat or whatever you think she is, that's when you're in trouble with me.
Right.
But as long as you're being nice to everyone at this camp, you're being nice to each other, you're including everyone, you want to go prank the girls' cabins?
You're going to go smoke in the woods?
You want to go, you want to go make out with a girl at the man-made lake here?
Janine's here. We
do whatever you want. And that's the thing. That was my position. So they'd be like, every night, like, boo, 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 boo. And I would like open the door and they'd be like, all your kids are down to the thing. And I was like, oh, these guys
all
are
of
putting
them?
On pants. Yeah. And 12 I'd, like, 12? I'd fake yell at them. And they come back and they'd be like, dude, our like Young Life leader's the greatest. But they would respect that they had to be nice. And they can't be Johnny too cool. Like, that's not what this is. Yeah. This camp is about
love.
Well,
because people will grow out of mischief, but they won't grow out of being a jerk.
Right.
Like, if you're a bad person and nobody corrects that behavior, then you're just going to be a bad person.
And they made some of the best friends by having that, by going, you know what? I ordinarily would think that guy's not cool. Because they're so, in high school and junior high, at least in my observations, it's such a ladder. It doesn't matter what's going on in politics or sports. And maybe the internet's changed this, but at least when I went to school, I didn't care about anything that was going on out there.
No.
The hottest girl at our school was the only girl in the world.
Yep.
The whatever we were dealing with at our school, like that was the news. That was the pop culture. That was the everything.
Right.
So that's why, like, I think about it, like, back in the day, like, my mom and dad didn't have a lot of money, so they just get me like $20 shoes from like Payless.
Right.
And the reason I was so enraged is, like, they don't even realize they're screwing with my whole system. They don't understand. This is a big deal at my school.
Yeah.
And it might not seem like a big deal to them, and I'm being vain, and I need nice shoes or whatever, and they can't afford it. They're screwing with my hierarchy at school.
Yeah.
Like, they're affecting my
place. This is hurting us.
My place.
Yeah. I always liked playing basketball, and I wanted to play in middle school because I'd played in elementary school, but I went to a poor school. And then we merged with the rich school in middle school.
Oh, wow.
So there's 21st Avenue down in Federal Way. And that was like, it might as well have been like the train tracks. Like, there was the good side and there was the bad side. Like, there was like, it was like the single parent homes and the good. It was the Boeing employees.
Ooh, look who it is. It's old Jeffy Two Parents.
It really was, though. Like, you were just like, oh man, things are really good. And I played basketball in elementary school, like, you know, and on the little boys and girls club team or whatever. But, you know, we all had crappy shoes.
Yeah.
And then, like, I went out to like the first practice and I was like, oh no. And I was like, Dad, I need some new shoes and we can't afford them. And then I never went back.
Oh, yeah.
Because I couldn't be sad in the scene. I wasn't good enough to be like, oh, it's cool that. Because, like, if you're really.
We do that now.
Yeah.
I feel like as grownups, we can go like, oh, I don't care. It's just shoes. Like,
yeah.
I don't value that.
No.
You couldn't say that in fifth grade
no.
or like eighth grade.
You have no. I deal with that all the time with I have an 11-year-old.
Yeah.
In middle school, sixth graders, what we're talking about.
Brutal time.
And the worst years.
Yeah.
No matter what happens in your life, those are the two to three worst
tough,
years.
Yeah, yeah.
11, 12. Ugh. Oh, bad,
brutal,
bad
yeah.
years. I think it's a little earlier for girls because they hit puberty earlier. But like, those are just bad years. So, but like, we're not that family. Like,
right.
I drive a crampy van.
Right.
And I'm like.
Yeah, you're happy with it.
I am happy with it. I think it's funny.
And he can't understand that.
And, and he's like, Dad, don't pick me up in it. And I was like, I get out of the car and yell your name.
Yeah.
Joel! This is your van.
Yeah, you think it's hilarious.
Oh, it's the funniest thing in the world.
Have you seen Spider-Verse?
Yeah.
When the cop dad
is
dropping him off for his first day at school. And he's like, Miles, I love you. And he's like on the PA system from the cop car.
Yeah.
And he's like, Dad. And he's like, say it back. And he's like, makes him say, like, I think that is such an endearing moment.
Yeah.
But also the other side of that coin is he's mortified.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember watching that movie and I was like, oh yeah, I relate to this. Like, he's the, you know, he's the poor kid going to the rich school now.
Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, your dad's a cop. You're doing way better than my family was doing.
And they got a cool, like, Brooklyn apartment.
Yeah.
You see that apartment?
Yeah.
But I guess
look at those headphones.
To go back to that Young Life thing is, I felt like what I was teaching them was much more important than any rules.
Right.
Like, they had to include people that they would otherwise, if it was high school, wouldn't want to be seen with. Mm. And so like by teaching them that, they realized like, oh, no, actually that kid kind of rules. Like, right. We would have never even talked to that boy.
Yeah.
But now he's like rolling with us because Jeff's making us.
Yeah.
Include him.
Yeah.
And then they realize like, oh, he's just like us and he's nice. And this kid is over the moon that these boys are including them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that that's just huge. Yeah. I think it's huge to, that's the community that like,
yeah,
cities and churches and cultures want.
Yes.
Being included. That's the worst feeling in the world to be left out. Yeah. So I'll let them put shaving cream, you know, in all the girls' swimsuit. I don't care.
As long as they don't do it to the quote-unquote loser.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, no, they would always just pick on the girls.
That's
fine. Yeah, and it was very frivolous.
Yeah.
Like, as far as like...
But if you did it to one kid...
Right.
Who's already a bit of an outcast, then you're... I'm sending
exactly.
you home.
It was a lot of those kind of things. Like, they would take all the fire extinguishers and bring them back to the... And I'm like, you guys are idiots.
Yeah.
But, all right.
You guys are amateurs.
Yeah, exactly. Or water balloons, and they would like go just throw them at the doors of the girls' cabins. And
yeah.
Really, that would just wake up the girl Young Life leaders who are like my age, who are like all sleepy, like, what's going on in here? Like, that's all it was. I mean, but to them, it was like, he let us do anything.
Yeah, and the only reason you really mad at him was like, how come you guys keep getting caught?
Yeah, oh, they were the worst.
You guys are bad at this.
Yeah.
It's
like, again? One of my favorites is, and I learned this from my Young Life leader, is when they were sneaking out. I mean, they're loud. These teenage boys are more. Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, a lot of shit.
The loudest.
Shut up.
That's so
shut
true.
Up. Yeah. Which would be louder than anything they would do.
If you're sleeping.
Just shushing.
If you're sleeping, right? Like you're just, someone's right here and I'm talking at this volume. That's not going to wake you up. But if I go, shh. That's so much more jarring of a noise. Shh, what's going on?
That was so funny because that's exactly what they would do. Yeah. And they're shushing each other. Like, shut up, Tony. I'm doing. Like, it was just like this really weird. And they're putting on clothes. And like, so it's a whole thing. And they're forgetting things. So it's like, oh, wait.
Yeah.
And like all that whole like noise. And I just go, can't hear you guys. I'm sleeping. And they would be like, yeah. Like they just thought they were so.
Rules.
Yo, he's the greatest. And that made me feel good. But so, yeah, Young Life was
gonna
a be very, a
great
very.
Dad, you're gonna, but you don't want to have kids.
I don't know if I want to have kids.
Yeah. When we did that on your podcast, you can't believe that people want to have kids.
I can't.
Oh,
believe,
no, you said that about marriage.
Marriage. Yeah. I've never. Yeah, it's tricky. Even this weekend, I got a text. I had a big wrestling party today. There was like a wrestling pay-per-view, and you would have been invited, but you said you had a set.
Okay.
That's what's true.
I also live, you know, a ways away.
Yeah.
You wouldn't necessarily.
Well, because like you reached out, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, he says he has a set. He's coming
over
after
that. I had
to
go do 5 minutes in the lab, so.
Yeah. How was it?
It was pretty good, actually. Okay. Yeah.
So then we have all these guys over here. One of the guys I invited... his reply to my I haven't talked to him in ages. Yeah. Or not in ages, but like half a year.
I know where this is going already.
I said, hey, having a wrestling party. It's just a copy and paste text I sent to everyone that I invited. And he goes, hey, man, I have kids, so see you never. Like, that's so aggressive. But that's where his attitude is about that.
It doesn't have to be that way, man.
It's his attitude.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the...
And a horrible commercial. People don't realize they're making... Everything we do is a commercial for... Yes. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could see someone get out of a nice car or something, but if they're, like, gushing about the car,
you're
like, oh, that's a commercial for that car.
Yeah.
Or, like, if you see someone complain about their wife, little commercial. It's a little commercial for marriage.
That's funny you said that, because I, like, probably, like, 12 months ago, like, I watched... Like, I recorded, like, a full set. It was probably about a year and a half ago, like, a full, like, I was headlining. So I did 45 to 50 or whatever. And I listened, and I was like, you would think that I really do hate my children.
Interesting.
And so I made the point to be like, listen, I'm going to keep some of this stuff in here because these are honest sentiments.
Right.
But to write bits of why I love them and enjoy them
That's
as
great.
Well. And actually we'll say before I get to the negative stuff, I say, like, I never want to say that it's all bad because some of these are the best moments of my life.
Yeah.
But like you said, it is a commercial, and that's an honest commercial about, hey, you're going to laugh really hard, but you're going to cry really hard too, and you're going to yell, and you're going to have every emotion you have towards them. Because I'm a commercial for parenting.
Absolutely.
So if I'm doing a short set, they're only going to hear the mean stuff because that's the funnier stuff.
Right. Well, that's the stuff. Yeah. Why is that? Why is the meaner stuff the funnier stuff?
That's an interesting question. I think that people resonate to you when you're talking about earlier, when people come into comedy clubs, when someone can articulate their frustrations, I think it's a harder laugh because they resonate so much and it starts to take power away from it. Because you go, oh my gosh, I get so angry at my kids. Well, so does this guy.
And now he doesn't feel the guilt.
Now we're laughing about it too.
We're in this together.
Yeah. And now I don't have to be so mean to my kids.
That's interesting.
Maybe. Because maybe it's the same with politics or marriage or various frustrations. Or even if it's just something like Seinfeld stuff and he's upset about.
But even Seinfeld's outraged about raisins.
And you know, and I have shared those.
Yeah.
You know, like I have, you know, I think about Seinfeld every time I'll see him close the curtain in for between First Class and Coach. It's like, do we really need that? Yeah. Just like,
Maybe should have worked a little harder.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
I don't know. What do you think?
I had a weird thing. I don't know. I'm just fascinated with that question of like, I don't know why people like I do it in my act at this next part, but what, like I'll say like, why do some people take on the identity of being grumpy? Mm. What is so attractive about that? Wouldn't you think an attractive identity would be like, I'm going to be the person that people like being around.
Interesting.
Or I'm going to be the person that, that when they see me, they go, you know what I like about Jeff is like, if I like something, he'll just give it to me. Mm. Like Jeff is giving. That's a virtue I want to be.
Right.
Another virtue I want to be is kind or someone reliable, which I struggle with being reliable or even being a good listener. But it's something I've worked on the last 4 years. Like I know that I'm a pretty bad listener. So I'm actually going to start a podcast so I can engage with people and listen. Like,
and see if you can monetize it.
Right. And get better at it. Yeah. Well, not that, but just like get better at it too. Like I remember a long time ago, it was probably like, probably almost a decade now. Yeah. But one of my friends named Tim Murph, one of the best humans I've ever known, just a sweet guy. And me and my girlfriend at the time went out with him, had some drinks, hung out. Well, I come back home and she said, you know what I really liked about your friend Tim is he would ask me questions about me. He seemed to be really interested in us. He would keep up. And I remember thinking the next like 10 times I went out with anyone, like, I don't ask anything about them. They say something and I chime in with, oh, I got a great story about that subject. Or I have a funny anecdote about that subject. And I was like, man, I don't listen good enough. I want to start listening better.
Yeah.
And I want to start asking them questions.
I would say I have seen that change in your life since I have known you.
Well, thank you.
That's not that I ever noticed it was bad.
Right.
But I would say that I feel when I'm hanging out or if I'm at your house or we're doing something that you feel more, I'm getting more questions, more attentive. Like, you've always been warm.
But shouldn't we all be trying to get better? You know, we should all be like working on like, what am I doing bad this year? And how do I fix that? Not just for a career, but like on ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, have I kind of let it slip? You know, I don't want to put this on you, but like, have I kind of let it slip on being maybe romantic to my wife? Or, and maybe I haven't, but maybe there's another thing that I can work on. Maybe I could get up a little earlier and kind of help, you know, these kind of things. But I've found young people are more attracted to horrible qualities. Mm. They love to find identity in like, oh, that's just me, dude. I procrastinate so much. Why is that an attractive virtue to be? You know, our girls would be like, I like pizza more than I like people. You're like,
I can't do anything before noon. Right. What?
Why is that what you identify?
I'm a comic and I can.
Yeah. like what? They heard that idea and they go, that's me. I hate people. Yeah. Why would you want to be a person that hates people?
I just don't. That's really, I like when people say, one of my favorite things to do is people watching. You mean people judging?
Right.
So you just sit around.
So true. It's so.
So you sit around and you're like, oh, they wear that. Like, you're a bad human.
Look at this weirdo.
Oh, he walks like that. Yeah, that's how he walks. You weren't there to teach him how to walk the way that you approved of his walking.
He didn't know.
You know what he's not doing? Sitting down on a bench and being an a-hole right now.
100%. But those are what people are attracted to.
Yeah.
People love being... How many times have you seen on Facebook or whatever your social media of choice is of like... I'm such an old person. I'll go to bed at like 10 on a Friday.
Yeah.
And they think we're going to go, oh, she's not out being a slut. She's... She's just little old Herb, just like, or like, what a loser, home in PJs at 9 p.m. on a Friday.
Yeah.
Well, no one said that you're cooler for being out on a Friday.
Yeah.
Those people are just enjoying a Friday night that they might have earned from working
hard. And you
hard
know what you're doing? It. You're having to post about it.
Right.
Right. You know, oh, engage with me. Affirm
I'm
me.
Such an old person.
Yeah, you're the same thing as the girl wearing the short dress at the club. Yeah. Go compliment me or judge me. Say one thing or the other.
Just I'm not what you think I am.
Yeah.
But what's so fascinating is I am trying as I get older to link myself to more honorable virtues instead of finding new bad things I am. There's a comic, I won't name him, but I watched him do a set. One of his sets was about how his friend gave him a gift of pants. He gifted him pants in a present, and he opened it and he's like, "Why'd you give me pants, bro?" And then the second bit right after that, he was talking about how his friend told him that his car got towed. And he was like, "Good story, bro. Don't tell me these kind of stories. I don't give a shit about your car." And then the third bit was about a friend of his invited him to a party. And he's like, "I don't want to go to your party, man." So, and not crushed.
Oh,
these three bits.
They couldn't have been crushing
demolished.
Harder.
Demolished. I mean,
people were like, "Yeah, man, that guy's party sucks."
And I sat in the back. And I thought, so let me get this right. If I'm friends with this comedian, he doesn't want to hear any stories that aren't super interesting. I can't tell him about my car being towed. I can't invite him to a party.
No.
And I shouldn't get him a gift of fashion, which it appears he really loves fashion. This guy's very fashionable and a very hot guy. So I can't get him a gift, tell him stories that are boring, or invite him to a party. Or he'll make fun of me in his act.
Yeah.
But like, what a grump.
Yeah. I think that people resonate with it because I think negativity is so much easier.
Right.
And it comes more natural to most people. Now, there are exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think of like Steve Simone. I was like, you're like an alien.
Okay.
Like, you're constantly upbeat and friendly and kind.
Yeah.
But you stand out so much. There are so few people that are like that. That I think the negative critical, and maybe it's just cultural and time and place for where we are, right? But I think the negative, judgmental, critical thing is easy to do. It's an easier joke to write, by the way, to take like a positive spin on it. Remember on the last season of Last Comic Standing, they did. Somebody got up and was like making fun of the Bible or something like that.
Oh, yeah,
like
Norm McDonald's like, "That's not brave."
He's like, "That's easy."
Yeah.
And
well, because Roseanne called him brave for doing it. Like,
you know how many people make fun of the Bible?
Yeah, you know how easy it is?
Write a positive Bible joke.
Have you ever driven through an open mic in Seattle? You ever popped in or popped your ear in and seen what they're doing there?
You ever read Leviticus? All right. I don't know.
God.
This is so...
Ugh.
I just think that it's easier. And that comes more natural to me too. But like complaining.
It comes natural to everyone because Well, like think about like my strongest bit that I've ever done. The hottest response I've ever gotten from a bit was just me telling a story about bonding with a stranger that was 5 years old on an airplane. Like just a kid on the airplane.
Oh yeah, I remember this bit.
This is how cool he was. Because I don't get to be around kids.
What was the movie that you guys...
Bug's Life. Yeah, we talked about Bug's Life.
I love Bug's Life.
Oh, it was amazing. Like we had so much in common. This kid was just rad. He was just like a rad kid. And here's the thing. Moms and dads know that all the time. You guys know kids are great. You love your kids and it would never come as a surprise to you.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm in my 20s. I never am around kids. I mean, like my sisters didn't have kids till a little later. So like this was at a time when I didn't have nieces and nephews and things. And so just bonding with this kid, I was like, I didn't know kids were cool. I had no idea. And like that, coming to that conclusion and telling that story on stage after punching it up.
Yeah.
Cause it was like 2008 or something like that. And I think I had one niece and she was like a bit like 6 months old. Or something. But anyways, that's the bit that everyone likes. That's the bit people resonate with.
And it's a harder bit too, because you know what? The easier bit would be like, screw this kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Are you watching Bug's Life? Bug's Life sucks. That's like the worst Pixar movie. Like, that's so easy to write.
Which is exactly what... There's a Louis C.K. wave where that happened.
Yeah.
That's... And I might be wrong on this if there's some sort of like comedic historians that listen to this, but to my knowledge, everyone was doing how hard it was to be a mom, how hard it was to be a dad, how hard it was to be in a relationship, how hard it is to be married. Mm-hmm. These are like the differences between men and women. These were the subjects most comedians talked about.
Yeah, like remember the Burr bit about punching the muffins?
Yes.
Where you're just like, this guy's a psychopath. Yeah. But I've had thoughts like that.
Right.
What if I did just tip over?
You ever drive and you just go, this is the, like, yeah. You turn this way, just mass murder. Yeah. We've had those thoughts.
Not you. Not you driving. You're like, ah, come on by.
Not driving.
That guy could do that to you. And you're like,
I've been to a gun range.
Yeah.
And they just gave me a gun. And I was so shocked that that's how easy it was.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you have a driver's license? Okay, here's your gun. I couldn't believe it.
Well, a car's way more dangerous
and
than a gun.
And I'm so stable and normal and whatever. And I still kept thinking, all I would have to do is turn and shoot this guy.
Right next
They're
to
trusting
you.
Trusting everyone.
Yeah. I
couldn't believe it.
So
I'm having those thoughts, let alone somebody who might be a little ring-a-ting on a medication for guy. You know?
Ring-a-ting.
I'm a little nervous. This guy's got the same thoughts.
Well, he likes you because you're at the gun range with him.
Ugh.
You guys are on
not
the same.
Not my pal. I'm talking about the other guys in the other
no,
lane.
No, they're all. You're all on the same team. You're all, what should we do for fun? Let's shoot guns. That's not even.
Guns are fun.
Guns.
I get it. I get why people like them.
Wouldn't it be amazing if the NRA just like switched to a more upbeat message like that? Like, listen, we're not going to do the amendment thing. We're like, listen, guns are fun.
I love that. That's what they should do.
Yeah. It would be more
received. I agree.
Yeah, it'd be received better.
You'd be like, listen, you like Xbox. We like guns.
Yeah.
Or it's a little more dangerous.
It's way better than the over my dead body.
Yeah,
you take my gun.
Too, polarizing. Well, not to mention, like, we can amend things all the time. You know, like, we can.
Oh, yeah, the amendment thing.
We can change.
Yeah.
We've changed a lot of the rights we have over time. And they act like that one is like this.
Oh, yeah, you can't have guns in the constant. Well, yeah, you know, black people used to have different water fountains.
Yeah, we can change tons of
things. We've changed a lot of things.
So I wish they would just be like, nah, we like them. And
yeah.
It's fun.
Are you. So the honorable, having to have more honorable ethics and qualities, it seems like you're trying to add that to the act too, right? Like it's there.
Oh, yeah, I talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
I also lately, though, have been going pretty hard on the left, pretty aggressive towards the left.
Making fun of liberals? Yeah.
Not liberals as much as extreme liberals that don't even realize they're extreme liberals.
Right.
They don't.
Yeah.
Like we know when the alt-right has gone too far.
Yeah. Yeah.
The alt-right is wrong, and we know when they're wrong. When you see it, you go, that's wrong.
Yeah.
But when has the alt-left gone too far?
Oh, I don't know. It,
right. It's hard to identify.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I see it every time I work at university.
Oh, yeah? When they're, like, non-responsive, you mean? Or, like,
That they just have no interest in anything that's remotely religious, anything that's remotely Republican, remotely conservative.
Mm.
It's turned into a zero discussion. It's turned into you have to believe these liberal ideologies, or you're a racist or a homophobic,
right,
or transphobic or bad,
yeah,
or a sheep or some stuck in the old days because you want to have a baby. Like,
yeah,
those are horrible ways to think about people, but that's what is happening in colleges.
I remember I did how I got booked for this gig, I don't know, but I did like an all women's school once, and it was like the freshman orientation. I was like, are you,
oh boy,
you guys saw my clips? And you're like, that's the guy,
right?
And I was like, I remember I said, like, you know, me and my wife have kids, we have three kids, and I go, and someone goes, what's she doing? I go, well, she stays at home. And like three girls booed me. I was like, she made that choice.
Yeah, she wanted
that. You think she's chained up at home?
She'd rather not send our kids to some stranger while she works.
She was like, you know what would be great? Being around my kids.
Right.
And you could choose not to do that or do it.
Right.
But that's your choice.
Well, and also, like,
I hate when people get frustrated. They're not frustrated by a lack of choice. They're frustrated that they didn't make the choice that they would have made in that scenario.
But even, like, those young ladies might later find themselves in that position.
Of course.
And be like, oh, I was taught nonsense.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when you're talking about like ways to grow, like my biggest thing, and I try and do it on this podcast, which is to have like a diverse group of people from a diverse group of backgrounds so that we can understand, like, people are the way they are for reasons.
Yeah.
And oftentimes it's reasons that have nothing to do with the choices they've made. And it certainly has nothing to do with you. Mm-hmm. But like I get so frustrated when, like, all of our fights are you're mad at somebody who was raised differently than you in a different environment and a different context for not sharing the beliefs that you have because you were raised in a different environment in a different context with different experiences. Like, that's empathy. You have to understand, like, of course, but now the comic comes in and makes fun of both sides, which I appreciate. And
that's what I like doing. I'm fascinated. Yeah, I think
you do
just,
like walking that line.
I love it.
I think that all ties into like what you were talking about of just wanting to have more honorable virtues and ethics. That is something that I've tried to work on personally, of just a general, more optimistic look on things, which is not a naivety to the negative things in the world,
right?
But it's finding silver linings, and it's also a general, more positive outlook. Like, I've told this story on the podcast before, but I listened once to the CEO do a talk of that company, Life is Good. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about, like, he goes, like, listen, not everyone's going to have the same approach and the same thought. He's like, but statistically, life on Earth is better than it's ever been.
Oh, 100%.
More people eat. More people have clean water. More people read than they've ever. Less people are enslaved. Of course, it's still bad because we know, and because, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. People put like those headlines right in front of us, and Twitter is just the negative, the negative, the negative, the negative. And you think, so you feel emotionally at the end of the day, like, oh, where really you could say, like, these things, these great tragedies that are happening in African American communities or in human trafficking, oh, it's so awful. We know about them now.
Of course. I have a whole bit about what you're saying is that, like, we live. We are the 1%.
Right. Yeah.
Like we're doing great. The poorest people I know, and the and arguably the poorest people in America, have air conditioning. They have like a bed.
Yeah.
They have a place. Like a flat screen television. Like,
yeah.
Those are the poorest people in our country.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're doing okay.
Yeah.
Most of the people that are on the streets have a little bit of a bigger issue, like as far as like addiction or some sort of mental
illness.
Yeah, so some sort of thing. So they have a different barrier to kind of go over. So not counting them.
Yeah.
The poorest people have stuff, and they're doing all right comparatively. Like we have Yale students, like, you know, walking around believing they're oppressed. Do you realize how ridiculous
you
that is?
You went to Yale. That was
it's insanity. We're all doing great. You've got beautiful daughters that are healthy.
Yeah.
You've got a home. You've got a everything's fine, and everyone's going, can you believe how hard it is? It was in traffic for 3 hours in your car
with AC as you listen to a podcast on your phone that might as well have been made in space.
Everyone I know has got Netflix. So I don't.
But people are mad because their Netflix season didn't get renewed.
Yeah. I'm not in the sympathy game as much anymore as I'm in the come on. Life's good game. Let's be happy. Come on, man. You want some lunch? I'll buy you some lunch. Let's have some laughs.
Well, we are way over. We're going to have to edit the crap out of this.
Let it down.
I love it.
Chop it up.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you doing this.
Thanks for having me, bro.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have not done so already, please rate and subscribe. Follow us on all the social medias and share with all of your friends. Also, if you want to shoot us a note, you can email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and you have not done so already, please go back and listen to all the episodes we've done before. Thanks so much, everybody.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.